The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good types.
But so many poor choices.
Is the home... Of course.
This is the Homance Chronicles, and I'm Sarah with a bunch of fur in my mouth.
And I'm Nicole. And... I have a little bit of a tiny story of how I came up with my hoe of history today.
Ooh, origin story. Okay.
But first, have you been keeping up with 90 Day Fiancé?
Obviously.
The one that's out right now.
Sarper and yeah, Shekinah. Yeah, I've been keeping up with those fucking idiots.
Well, one of the couples that continues to play a pivotal role in this show, Gino and Jasmine.
Oh, God. You know, they're in Canton.
Yeah. So Gino is from Michigan. He lives in Canton, which isn't that far away from us.
Nope.
And they were showing them at like a bulk goods store or something. And I did not recognize this store.
No, it was a fancy one that's downtown Canton. It was like a Five Below, but not.
Okay. It had way more than Five Below, though, it looked like.
Right. It was like a variety store. Because I was like, where the fuck is that? It's downtown Canton. Like,
really?
Bougie. Yeah. It's like a...
I didn't know that Canton even really had a downtown, and I lived there for a year.
Really?
Yeah.
There's like a little village shopping center.
Okay. Well, anyway, it looked like a Costco or something, you know?
Yeah.
But it was just funny because I was like, why wouldn't I know this? Like, why is this so foreign to me?
I'm going to look it up now because I said the same thing. I was like, where the fuck are they?
But there was this.
Oh, they were in either Novi. I think they were in Novi.
They had to have been.
That, yeah, I think that's where they were at.
They had to have been. Because I'm like, I don't really feel like Canton has a downtown area. Like, they have a downtown-ish, but it's not, like, cute. It's just normal. It's like all the big box stores, you know, a bunch of chains and stuff. Anyway, so Jasmine gets off the flight. If we back up to like episode one or two or whatever of this season, she gets off the flight and they're in the airport and she asks if it's air conditioning or if it's just that cold outside.
Oh, and my God.
I love how Gino was like, air. We're inside, so it's air conditioning. But when you get outside, you see that it's a chillier time. So I was like, they don't have the air on in the winter.
No.
To her.
Well, I mean, like, let's be honest, Gino's a little bit on the spectrum. We're just gonna call it how we see it.
Yeah.
And he didn't, I mean, I have to assume he felt the AC is on like year round, because the heat had to have been on at that point because there was snow on the ground.
It was just their whole situation is totally ridiculous to me. But her landing at DTW and me being able to like pinpoint, oh, she was at that end of the airport.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, oh my God, what would it be like if we saw them? What if
you
we
have
ran
no
into them?
Idea? I'm telling you right now, I would love to possibly run into them. I know for a fact he worked at one of the, you know, car companies around here as an engineer.
He worked at Ford.
Oh, see?
I don't think they ever say Ford, but he drives a Ford, so.
You have to assume, yeah, for sure. I just thought he was like a tier one supplier kind of
No.
contract guy.
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure he worked for Ford, and that's not that far from Canton. They're Dearborn
Right.
headquarters. So to me,
He
that's
quit
what
his
I
job.
deduced.
He quit his job.
I know. But she's just so
Spoiler alert.
unrealistic looking. Like, if you look at a before and after from when they first started this show years
Oh,
ago
yeah.
to now, like, she's just so mannequin looking, like so fake looking. I don't know.
Yeah.
I almost want to like see her in person to be like, are you
I'm, if
just
I
all
do, I'm touching
plastic?
her. I'm gonna touch her. Are you actual? Poke.
Oh man.
I just cannot imagine. Like the two of them, and then she's like, I'm getting hives from how dirty the house is. Oh, honey, it's not the house. There are other things at play. And she's a vegan. He left a shit in the toilet.
I know. You're talking about all the small little things. How about the fact that she spent $10,000 on butt implants
That looked
and,
terrible, by the way.
yeah, and used all the money that he gave her for a wedding dress to put implants in, but then also still talks to her ex to get
Who
more
gave her
money?
2K to do the same? Oh, I just don't know.
She's
I don't
there.
know.
I honestly feel like, though, like, I want to see them in public just to see. I don't even know
Yeah.
if I'd want to approach. I just want to think I'd observe. Like,
Yeah, I just want to see, like, well, you know how it's like to just look at people and you're like, wow, you're actual in real life.
Yeah. And then the trans woman, Nikki,
I was like,
or
which one?
Nicole, I swear to God, I've seen her on Botched before. And Botched is
Well, her
now
nose is all
on.
fucked up. If I wouldn't be
Yeah, so
surprised.
Botched was a plastic surgery show with Dr. Terry Dubrow and forget the other guy, something Nasser, I think. Or no, that's the Michigan State guy. The Botched guy is Nassif, I think.
Yes, that is him.
So anyway, they are, well, one of them is divorced from an ex Beverly Hills housewife that was on Bravo. And then Terry Dubrow is still married to Heather, who is still a current Beverly Hills housewife.
Okay, that's what I was like. They have to be connected somehow, some way. How did they just get this random TV show where they work together?
I mean, their friendship is pretty entertaining. It's very funny.
I
But
agree.
they had a show on E called Botched, which just came out on Netflix. And I'm like, 99.9% certain that the Nikki from 90 Day Fiance is the cover image of Botched on Netflix at the moment.
Not me looking. Not me looking it up right now as we speak.
They changed the like thumbnail images, like the covers a lot.
Yeah.
So, but when I saw her on 90 Day Fiancé, she had already looked familiar to me, and then I was like, oh, okay. Ding ding. It's all coming together.
Yes, she was an on Botched. She
There you go.
was on Jerseylicious and the Tyra Banks show.
Making the rounds.
She also faced difficulties after filming for Botched. She lost her apartment and had her segments scrapped from the show.
Huh. Well, if there her segments were never used, then how would I have seen her?
I mean, they probably.
They might have been used and then removed later or something.
Yeah. Oh, it's on the webs. All right. I'm going to have to report back on this later.
So people who don't watch 90 Day Fiancé are completely bored, so I might as well jump into our hole
Well,
of
I
history
mean,
for this
they should
week.
really get into it if they want to know. If they don't know already, come on. Yeah.
So I was over at my brother and sister-in-law's house on Saturday, and my sister-in-law's mom and stepdad were there, and the topic of this podcast came up at dinner, and they were talking about all these, you know, famous women or women in history that they're familiar with. And I'm pretty sure that her mom had said somebody that she just watched a documentary on. They spewed out many names, which I did not write down. So I went with the one that I remembered.
All right.
I mean, there was not like, so they said, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but like, I feel like you got to really dedicate some time for Ruth.
Ruth is going to be a two-parter if we want to do her any justice. Let's
yeah.
Reveal.
Yeah. They actually brought up Hedy Lamarr, who you had just done.
Hedy.
Yeah. Oh, because we had the whole discussion about spies and everything. Yeah. And fun fact, women didn't get the right to vote till 1919. I thought it was like in the 50s, but apparently it was like right before 1920.
Yeah, it was the suffragette movement in the 20s.
Like, so anyway,
ability to vote. I think we were allowed to claim ourselves as our own individual persons at the same time. Like, we are allowed to vote and we're actually human beings all at the same time.
I don't know if it was a twofer.
Fair, fair, fair.
So speaking of which, today, which happens to be November 7th when we're recording this, it's voting day. So I turned in my ballot.
Nice.
So I encourage
everybody and everybody
to vote, especially since women have only been able to do it for like 100 years.
Fucked up.
Yeah. So today's story is somebody that my brother suggested.
Love this.
She's an activist. She's an activist. I combined actress and activist into one word.
You just created TM, trademarked. The Homance Chronicles. Activist.
She's an activist.
Where's Weber's dictionary? It's going to be a good word one day. You watch.
Comedian, author, radio host, talk show host, producer, Hollywood icon for over 70 years, maybe even like 80 by the time she died.
Do I know who you're going to do?
Did you want to guess or do you want me to tell you?
I will guess when you're done with your spiel.
I'm done with my spiel.
Joan Rivers.
No, but that's very similar. It's close.
Baba.
Betty White.
I love White so much. I'm so excited. I forgot she's gone.
I know.
That bums me
away
out.
In 2021.
Oh, God. I felt like we were still living. Actually, you know what? We're not living in a world with Betty White anymore. Because look, it's all going to shit. She passed away and the balance has been offset. We're fucked. We've been just ever since. Betty, come back to us.
Oh, man, I know. She lives on in everything because she, like I said, had 70 to 80 years of acting experience. So it's pretty hard for someone to not know who she is. She did not have like this, I guess, tumultuous background. So a lot of today's story is actually just going to be talking about like awards that she won and how she was a lot of firsts.
Okay. Did you also know that her and her co-worker on the Golden Girls hated each other?
Yeah, I have that in here.
Perfect. The tea.
I know. Well, that's why I said it wasn't very tumultuous. Like I had to go digging for the tea.
Yeah.
So Betty Marion White was born in Oak Park, Illinois on January 17th, 1992. Or 1992. 1922. You could
like,
tell
God
I have.
Damn.
You could tell I have a headache today because I'm like creating my own words, completely saying things that are not on this piece of paper.
Extravist. You heard it here first.
She was born in 1922.
I didn't realize she was from Illinois.
They moved quickly.
Okay.
So she did clarify that her legal name is Betty. It's not shortened for Elizabeth.
or Beatrice?
None of the above. She was the only child of Christine Tess, who was a housewife, and Horace Logan White, who was a lighting company executive.
Horace,
and
that's a
fun
good
fact,
name.
Her father was from Michigan.
I'm not surprised by this. Horace. I feel like we should name an animal this now.
No, I feel like it's, I don't know. It's too hard. Like, it's too hard to roll off the tongue when you're yelling at them.
Horse. Yeah. Might not vibe.
So when she was 1 year old, her family moved to Alhambra, California, and then later to LA during the Great Depression. So that's why I said she was born in Illinois, but she was only there for a year. She graduated from Beverly Hills High School, class of 1939.
God bless it. That's insane.
I know. And you think about, like, my grandmother was born 1935. So my grandmother was born 4 years before Betty graduated high school. And my grandma's like 87 or something.
Oh, yeah. She was almost 100, right?
Yes. Yes. But it's so hard to believe because she worked till like the very end.
Right. And she was cognizant the whole time.
Yeah. She was snappier and wittier and less brain foggy than I am currently.
Right. Some good old fashioned Midwestern roots.
So she acted in shows for the school and performed at her class's graduation play. She was out of high school for just like 1 month, and her and one of her classmates did some singing on an experimental television show. But at the time, television wasn't really a thing, like it was still in development. So she found work as a model, and her first professional acting job was at the Bliss Hayden Little Theater. So she was doing all these little bits here and there and on different mediums in order to work on like her stage presence and her timing. But then it got a little interrupted because of World War II.
That little WWII got a little really jacked him up, you know, jammed him up.
Yep. So she volunteered for the American Women's Voluntary Services, and her assignment included driving a PX truck with military supplies like soap and toothpaste to soldiers in the Hollywood Hills.
Aw.
Yep.
Betty White tootling around.
Yep. She participated in events for the troops as well before they were deployed overseas. So to me, that means that, you know, they'd have like those one-off days or weekends where you'd have stage performances or people to come in and entertain the troops.
Like, what is it? A White Christmas?
Yeah. So she had later said that her time volunteering in the women's voluntary services was a strange time and out of balance with everything. She didn't really, I don't know. She didn't really like stick with it. I think she just did her little duty, and that was good enough.
Yeah.
Again, she volunteered, so you know. However, she did meet her first husband through this little process, and he was an Air Force P-38 pilot. His name was Dick Barker, and so they got married in 1945. She was only 23. They moved to Bell Center, Ohio, because that's where this guy owned a chicken farm.
Marrying up. Got it.
So he obviously wanted a simpler life.
He was like, girl, listen to me. All this fast-paced city life ain't for it.
Yeah. And then Betty was like, but this isn't for me, though. So they returned to LA and then got divorced.
Oh, my God. What's that show? Honey, I love you, but give me North Avenue. Do 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 do. Beep beep. Green Acres.
Oh. Wow, that was a real throwback.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's how they got the inspiration.
So they were married and divorced within a year. After the war, Betty tried to make rounds to movie studios looking for work, but she was turned down because she was, quote unquote, not photogenic. How many times have we heard this?
It me
This
also.
continuing trend of,
You're
you
pretty, but
know,
not that pretty.
not, don't have the look we are looking for. So anyway, when she continued acting at Bliss Hayden Little Theater, she starred in the play called Dear Ruth, and that's when she was spotted by Lane Allen. And Lane Allen was an actor, but then he later turned to be an agent, and he helped her pursue her career in acting. And she ended up marrying him in 1947 at 25.
Well then.
Yeah. But then they got divorced 2 years later because he wanted to have a family and she said, no, thank you.
Well, I don't blame her, can you?
She said she wanted to focus on her career rather than having children. So, bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks, but nah.
I love that, like, she honestly took marriage as, like, a temporary thing. Like, she's like, okay, well, we'll move out to Ohio and see how it is. Nope, hate it here. Bye.
I can't say she didn't try, you
Yeah. Oh,
know?
okay. We didn't talk about the whole kid thing before we got married.
Right. Well, I mean,
Now we are. Well,
they're
whoopsie.
still
Whoopsie.
doing that to this day, huh?
So, since she was deemed to be not the prettiest girl for TV, she decided to go work in radio where it doesn't matter what you look like.
Makes
So
sense to
she,
me.
yeah, she started reading commercials and playing bit parts, and sometimes she even did like crowd noises or like background noises. She only made like $5 a show, but she would do pretty much anything. They'd have her sing, and sometimes when she would do like some of those gigs, she wouldn't even get paid.
Oh God, could you imagine? It's like an internship. Ew.
Yeah, I mean, she was hustling, you know.
Hustling.
She appeared on several shows before being offered her own radio show called The Betty White Show.
You know, and it just kicks off with a fucking bang. She is who she is from
Yeah.
the jump.
Yeah. And getting the timelines on some of these shows was a little bit wonky. And then plus, the Betty White Show revives itself a couple of times.
Ready with what?
So at one point, she was co-hosting a show with Al Jarvis, who was a disc jockey, and then later, actor Eddie Albert, and they had to ad-lib their lines. And I guess it really took a toll on the men, and they both left. And so then
They
Betty ended up hosting alone.
couldn't ad lib, like they didn't have banter. What the fuck?
I guess.
What the? Ew, that's bummer for
So
them.
they both bounced. So she's often credited with being the first solo female talk show host on TV.
Yeah,
Not that it was
girl.
given to her, but because she could withstand the
Yeah,
demands. Her brain did not have
doesn't
an
shut
internal
down.
combustion from having
No.
to ad lib. But I mean, she worked hard as hell. Like this show, it was a 5-hour variety program, and it required her to stay camera ready for hours on end. So, and it aired 6 days a week from 1949 to 1953. That is a
Wow.
lot of airtime to fill.
Yeah. Did she have to create content the whole time too?
I think so.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Right. That's why it's like, well, we're kind of making fun of these guys, but that was that's a lot. So anyway, Betty would play multiple characters in different skits.
She
She'd
was like her own SNL.
was a yes, she was a one-woman show. And in one of her recurring bits, she played Elizabeth, a housewife who became very popular with viewers. So at this time, now the TV networks want more programming because, I mean, that variety show was on for 5 hours. Like, come on.
Yeah,
So
no kidding.
they spun off this Elizabeth character into her own half-hour sitcom.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it was called Life with Elizabeth, and it was notable because Betty was actually a producer. She formed a production company, and at the time, she was very few women to be in that position. This was the 1950s, so it was like her and Lucille Ball.
Right, I was going to say, the only other one I can think of is Lucille Ball.
And she named the production company after her dog, Bandit.
I love that. Simple.
She was a huge animal rights activist. So Elizabeth was in syndication for 2 years. And when it ended, Betty was like 29, like almost 30. And that's when they helped her launch the Betty White Show in 1954. So on that show that has her actual name in the title, she exerted total creative control and even was able to hire a female director.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I've already mentioned a few things where she's like firsts or like one of few. And on her show, she actually featured a black dancer named Arthur Duncan. And this sparked a uproar, bunch of complaints from viewers. It made Betty basically have the opposite reaction. So she just started having him on the show more.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to bring him back then. Fuck you people. He's a human too. Yep.
So instead of him having guest spots, he was now a regular. And
that's awesome.
We're talking like Jim Crow era, right?
Yeah.
Southern states. Like there was boycotting about him being removed from the series. And Betty's response to all of this was, I'm sorry, live with it. That's the quote.
Seriously, though, just live with it. Sorry.
Yes. Yes. So she continued to work in television and make guest appearances on show, like all kinds of different variety shows and game shows. She was a favorite of Jack Parr, who was a talk show host. So he often had her on The Tonight Show. She made regular appearances on game shows like Password. And that's where she met her third husband. Alan Ludden was the host of Password in 1961. The two married in 1963, and they remained married until 1981 when Ludden died. So the two of them never had any children together, but Betty was a stepmother to his three children from a previous marriage. And there were a couple of different sources about their engagement where one said that he proposed at least twice before she said yes. And then this story, which I find even more hilarious, it says, though Betty initially rebuffed Ludden's marriage proposal, he wore the engagement ring around his neck until she changed her mind.
Oh, my God. All right. Okay. I'm just gonna put this right here. I'm gonna wear my shirts open for the rest of this time.
I know. I mean, I don't know what was holding her back. Maybe it was because she had already had two divorces under her belt.
Probably she didn't waste her fucking time.
Yeah. And so, I mean, can you imagine having somebody that persistent?
No, I absolutely cannot.
I cannot either.
That you'd actually want to be with.
Well, right. I'm like, it seems like she
used to propose all the time.
Yeah, it seems like she still wanted to be with him. It just maybe wasn't like she didn't want to be married. I don't know. But as of today, her and Alan's Walk of Fame stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame sit side by side. So
it's cute. Forever.
Yeah. On an interview with Larry King Live, she said that she wouldn't remarry. He, you know, of course he's like, why? And she says, quote, once you've had the best, who needs the rest? I know. And then she was asked by James Lipton on Inside the Actors Studio in 2010 if there was a God and in heaven existed, then what would God say to her when she got there? And she, quote, said, come on in, Betty. Here's Alan.
Oh.
I know. It's so cute.
It's just heartwarming to know she had a great love in her life.
Right?
She deserves it. She's such a
good person. He died in 1981 and she died in 2021. So, I mean, that's a long time to remain single and be still kind of dedicated to him.
That's 40 years. Well, I mean, at that point, though, she had what she wanted. She'd been married to shitty people in the past. Like, she's done.
Yeah.
I don't blame her.
Yeah. And she didn't really want children. So, you know.
She definitely didn't. That didn't stop her from having an incredible family of people around her, you know.
Oh, right. So, as I mentioned, it was like her and Lucille Ball is like the only women in the 50s doing what they're doing with television. And so they were friends. They bonded over their struggles of it being a male dominated business. And they oftentimes relied on each other through all these various things, divorce, death, etc. And then another interesting fact is that NBC actually offered Betty an anchor job on the Today Show. And she turned that offer down because she didn't want to move to New York where the show was produced.
Mm-hmm.
And so guess who got that spot? Barbara Walters.
Barbara Walters. Barbara.
Mm-hmm. So Barbara got the job after Betty turned it down.
That's incredible.
I know. Isn't it crazy to think that she's connected to these women? Like,
it's just, I mean, it's not because I know the timing makes sense in my head, but to have that like intimate connection with Lucille Ball is definitely something. It's like, wow, that's kind of crazy.
Right?
Never really put too much thought into that.
No. From 1962 to 1971, Betty hosted NBC's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And for 20 years, she was also a color commentator for NBC's annual Tournament of Roses Parade. So this started, though, to conflict with when she was becoming more famous for being on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, which was on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
So NBC decided that they were going to pull Betty because of the rival promotions of trying to get people to watch the two different networks. And so they were like, well, you can't be like in our parade anymore. Sorry. And she actually was very heartbroken. Like, she thought, like, she was the only person who was supposed to be doing it. I mean, she had a co-host or whatever, but she said the first time that she watched the New Year's Day parade at home, she just felt wretched. And she was like somebody watching somebody else do my parade.
Oh, Betty.
I know.
What a bunch of fuckers.
So in 1973 is when she began appearing on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And she played Sue Ann Nivens, and she was like a devious, flirtatious host of the station's Happy Homemaker Show. Because on Mary Tyler Moore Show, it's like a fake television newsroom, like it's a show about shows.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So she did receive 3 Emmy Award nominations for her work, and one in 1975 and 1976. And so then after the series ended in 1977, she then got a resurrection of the Betty White Show again. And then ended up having recurring roles after that on like The Love Boat and Mama's Family.
Love Boat.
She won a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy Series for the first season of The Golden Girls.
Ooh, girl.
Yep. And so, actually, the entire time that The Golden Girls ran, she was nominated every year.
Well, rightfully so. Well earned.
So those of you who are not familiar with the cult classic, The Golden Girls.
Get off of our page. Get out of our... Just take us out of your ears and move on. I'm just kidding. Don't do
I was
that.
Like, I don't even think I need to describe what this show is about. But basically, four elderly female friends live together. And hijinks ensued because each of the four people had such varying personalities. And although they were all quote unquote like elderly, they spanned quite a ways in age. Right. And so it was like all dealing with like basically above 60s bullshit. Like once you were over 60 years old, like then what? And it was one of like the most top ranked shows.
It still
is. It was on for 7 seasons.
It still is.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, my Facebook feed's full of like Golden Girls merch to buy.
Right.
There's a bug on my mic.
She did it. She got it.
Hate
I was
you.
Wondering, I'm like, she's grabbing her mic. What is she doing?
It was going to go into my mouth. Not the mic, the bug.
It. Glad you got it. I mean, it wasn't really muffly, so there's that.
I was very gentle. I wasn't gonna, like, you know,
yeah, I got you.
Hurt your ears and knock the mic over.
No, I clogged you going pepped.
So some fun facts about the Golden Girls is that Betty was actually originally offered the role of Blanche.
That's even funnier.
Which you can't even picture in your mind now.
No.
You cannot picture not. Betty White playing Blanche.
Mm-mm.
And then Rue McCallahan was the one was offered to play the role of Rose. And so they were offered to play those roles because they were similar to characters that those two women were playing on other shows. So, like, you know, Blanche was a little bit of a closer character to what Betty was playing on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, who was like flirtatious and sexually out there, I guess, for that time. And you know,
adventurous, if you yeah, will.
Not afraid to talk about dicks, basically.
Or take them.
Yeah. So the director of the pilot actually suggested that they switch roles. And so initially they went into this like completely different, but once they switched roles and saw how it came out, they're like, nope, this is it. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, I know. So I thought I had the gossip girl or the gossip girl, the gossip about Betty and her co-worker. I thought I had it in here. Maybe it's in here, just not in the right spot.
Maybe
we'll find out. Okay. So Golden Girls went off the air in 1992. And then Betty was in a little spinoff called Golden Palace. She was a guest star on a bunch of television series. And she played herself on the John Larroquette Show in 1996 and won another Emmy Award for that.
For just being her fucking self. Yes. Amazing.
Yes. How validating. Okay. Oh, here's the gossip.
Validation.
Here's the
gossip. Hot goss.
So Betty had a strained relationship with the Golden Girls co-star Bea Arthur. And then this strained relationship was on and off the set. Commenting that, well, I guess Betty commenting that Bea Arthur was not fond of her and that she found me, this is Betty saying this, she found me a pain in the neck sometimes. It was my positive attitude and that made Bea mad sometimes. Sometimes if I was happy, she'd just be furious.
I love it because I did. I
read, I think I read it or whatever, but or maybe even saw the interview where she said all that. And it's just like, she literally killed her with kindness.
So after Bea Arthur's death in 2009, Betty did say, "I knew it would hurt. I just didn't know it would hurt this much."
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was still a positive experience for both of them. They had some differences, but they had a mutual respect for the show. And obviously they both cared about making sure that the show was successful as an ensemble. Mm-hmm. So it didn't seem to like get in the way too much, but yeah, it seems that just because Betty existed and was happy, it drove Bea Arthur nuts.
I mean, I'm not surprised by this though. Betty was an enigma, let's be honest.
Here's another little fun fact. Betty was offered the part of Beverly Connolly, the on-screen mother to Helen Hunt's character in the 1997 Oscar-winning movie, As Good As It Gets.
Could you imagine? I wouldn't be able to take her seriously.
I know, I know. But so I didn't remember this. I remember watching As Good As It Gets, but it's been a long time since I've seen it. And so I didn't remember that there was a scene where Jack Nicholson's character, like, pitches a small dog down a trash chute.
Yes.
And so Betty said she wouldn't do the movie if that scene was in there because she was such an animal advocate. Aww. And Betty basically was like, all I could think of is that there'd be people out there who'd watch the movie, and then if a dog was barking or something and they didn't like it, then they'd follow suit and just throw the dog in the trash, basically.
Isn't
so
wrong?
She was like, I tried to talk to the director about cutting the scene and he didn't want to, so he replaced her with Shirley Knight.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
As their loss.
And then in 1983, Betty became the first woman to win a daytime Emmy Award in the category of Outstanding Game Show Host. She was a host for NBC's Just Men. after so much work on all of the game shows, she was actually deemed first lady of game shows.
That's adorable.
I know. I mean, but think about how witty you have to be and how, like, you really can't have a whole lot of ailments or things that keep your brain from triggering, because all of this stuff is ad lib. Game show like participants, game shit. Show hosts, skits.
Our lives are game shows. We're game show hosts every time we go into public.
But we don't have the pressure of it being broadcast out to millions of people.
No pressure. None pressure at all.
So in 2000, whoa, 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 whoa. Emma.
She's here.
Jeez. Oh boy, hold on. Okay, so then in 2010, she came back with like this huge surge of popularity because she was in a Super Bowl commercial where she was tackled during a recreational football game. Yes, and so after that, stop, Emma. After that, fans launched a Facebook campaign to have her host Saturday Night Live. So she was 88 years old at the time, and incredible. the fan base basically petitioned for her to host. And so she became Saturday Night Live's oldest host ever. And then, of course, received an Emmy Award for her performance.
Boom. She cannot go wrong. Anything she does, gold.
Exactly. Her episode garnered the highest ratings that show had had in 18 months. So, yes.
Doing the TV Lord's work.
Honestly, she's beloved. So in 2014, the Guinness World Records book awarded Betty the title of longest TV career for an entertainer, female, for her more than 70 years in show business.
Man.
And the year before, they had given it to a guy. So actually, her and the male entertainer from the year before were like neck and neck because they both started their careers in 1939.
That's awesome. Well, she won because she got the next year after.
So in addition to acting, as I mentioned, she was an animal rights activist, and she's been known to say, I have to keep acting so that I can afford to keep doing my charity work.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked with the Los Angeles Zoo and the Morris Animal Foundation for 40 years. She said, I'm the luckiest old broad alive. Half my life is working in a profession that I love, and the other half is working with animals.
I mean, she's not wrong.
She said it was her thrill to be with Mr. Obama, but the bigger thrill was being with Bo, their dog.
Same girl. I feel that.
She said that she spent a half an hour with Bo on her lap.
I mean, he was so cute.
So she has written memoirs. Here We Go Again, My Life in Television, that came out in 1995. And If You Ask Me, and of course you won't, in 2011.
mild amount of sarcasm in it.
Her audiobook recording of You, If You Ask Me, and of course you won't, won a Grammy Award for Best Spoken Word Album.
And she, of course, dictated, I'm sure.
And then she was inducted into the Television Hall of Fame in 1995.
As one
should be. On August 18th, 2018, Betty's career was celebrated in a PBS documentary called Betty White, First Lady of Television. That documentary was actually filmed over a period of 10 years. So, yeah, holy they cow. Had lots of archive footage from colleagues and friends. So days before her passing, she made a video that was meant to be shown at her 100th birthday celebration, thanking her fans and affirming that her birthday celebration was in honor of her for her fans. And so she referred to herself again as the luckiest old broad. So on December 25th, 2021 is when she suffered a stroke. So that would have been Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. And then the morning of New Year's Eve, December 31st, is when she actually passed away in her sleep. She lived
went in out with a bang.
Yeah, she lived in Brentwood. You know, it's a suburb of Los Angeles. She died at 99, but she was only 18 days away from her 100th birthday.
Incredible.
And one of my favorite quotes from Betty, which I think we've all seen in a meme or something at this point, is, why do people say grow some balls? Balls are weak and sensitive. If you want to be tough, grow a vagina. Those things can take a pounding.
Yep. I think she was the one to originate that whole concept.
Yeah. So I obviously didn't get into the fact that she had a resurgence when she went on Hot in Cleveland. It was a show on like Nick at Night, or, you know, the adult Nickelodeon. And she was also in The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock. Movie. And they had continuous, we'll call them meetups or whatever later on. Like, I've seen so many little jokes that they play on each other. It seemed like it was like an ongoing relationship between all of them.
Didn't she also host a show like of old people doing pranks on pulling mm-hmm. pranks on people?
Yes, she did. Yeah. The Senior Citizen prank show where they pranked younger people. Mm-hmm.
They would go around in their fucking rascals and run shit over, like, oh, well, I'm sorry. I didn't even see you there.
Yeah, I fall out of wheelchairs and stuff, even though they can walk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So yeah, I mean, I didn't get into her every single thing that she did for work. But every generation, I think, knows her from something different.
Yeah.
You know, even though the younger generation below us probably doesn't even know what the Mary Tyler Moore Show is or what these like game shows like Password are.
But they know the Golden Girls.
But they know Betty White. My sources today were Forbes.com, thescarlet.org, life.com, biography.com, Wikipedia, Britannica, 13.org, and mentalfloss.com.
Oh, Miss Betty White. Thank you. I love that she really had no dirt. And the one person that tried to throw dirt on her name, she was like, I don't know. I'm nice to her. And she just keeps getting angry.
I'm just existing in a happy
sense. Like, she's just unfucking bothered. Let her be. Incredible.
So
I had a feeling her life was going to be fairly epic, but
I mean, the woman always made sure she had a job. She was always working.
Yep, that's for sure. That is for sure. And then eventually it just kind of fell into her lap.
So I was happy to be able to pull this together for her, but selfishly I was like, well, this isn't that exciting of a story.
No, I get it for sure. I understand completely, but we
although
have to
she did like all these firsts, right? Like the whole point of featuring women in history is to bring light to the fact that they paved a way and all the things that they did that we were unaware of. And so, I mean, still in this story, there were quite a few things that I was unaware of that she was really at the forefront.
Yeah. I mean, it's also a good reminder, though.
Yeah, she was all about equal rights, you know, for LGBTQ.
Yeah. Anybody, everybody, animals included. Like, she wasn't messing around. Everybody deserved just common courtesy, fairness, food,
water. Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is that when you look back at the pictures of her from when she was younger, she's very pretty. So, like, when they were saying, like, she's not photogenic, I was like, maybe she just, to them, didn't appear well on camera, but she's not unattractive.
No, yeah, she was very beautiful when she was younger. They probably just didn't like her go-getter attitude. Let's be honest. Mm. She didn't want to read the lines they were trying to feed her.
Yeah.
This one isn't going to comply. She's not photogenic.
Well, so, that's the history of Miss Betty.
Thank you for the Miss Betty White reminder.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you.
So I guess it's time for Atta Girls.
It is. What do you got?
Well, I was going to say that I voted today as my Atta Girl, and I already said that at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're still sticking with it. We're going to double dip.
That's fair. I'm here for that. I actually did like, so I'm proud of myself because yesterday I was able to schedule my truck. I have to get new tires and the vet. I made those two appointments that I've been putting off for maybe 2 weeks, calling them place up and doing that thing. Mm. So very proud of myself.
Yeah. You talk about appointments. I was on the phone for over an hour with a health insurance agent.
No.
Trying to get my insurance situated for next year. And there's just no good option.
I'm sorry. I wish we could get married, like, what's it called, so that I could help you with your insurance.
Right? Ugh. These plans, I tell ya, they get ya, no matter what you do.
It's this capitalism.
Yeah.
Is what's getting us.
Yeah. So, I don't know, I guess I could use that as an Atta Girl, even though I haven't selected anything yet. I sat on the phone for like an hour and 10 minutes. So
you did your research, and that's half the battle, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, anyway, if you liked what you heard today, please rate, review, subscribe.
Tell your friends.
Yeah, you can suggest a hoe of history by emailing us at homancepodcast@gmail.com or following us on Instagram at homance_chronicles. You can get Homance merch at nicolebonneville.etsy.com. And we have a closed group on Facebook that has nothing to do with this content anymore.
Their legacy content, but they're keeping it strong.
The Homance Chronicles, a judgment-free zone.
On the Facebooks.
Yep. So that's it. Yeah. That's all I got.
All right. Well, fucking Homance out then. Yeah.